Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross Hand Thrown Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. Our web address, crossandthrown.com. Again, crossandthrown.com. Or you can find us at paulsevangel.com. Both go to the same place. You can get all these messages on there for free. And you can download them, put on your iPod, do as you please. You can also get copies of the Concordant Version and the Concordant Commentary. We believe the most important Bible translation ever. For reasons we'll let you discover as you go through this program and listen to our expositions. We want to make known to everyone that we are having a conference in the Chicagoland area, September 18th through the 20th. Please consider coming, joining us. We'll have Martin Zender speaking and Dean Huff of the Concordant Publishing Concern and Jim Corum and Tony Nungesser and Clyde Pilkington of StudyShelf.com. We've got some good brothers there teaching the great message of God's saving work and Paul's evangel. And so go to our website and you can find the information on our conference coming up. Well, we are in a book of Ephesians, and we are covering some details here that are wonderful, because this is one of Paul's perfection letters. Romans is the ABCs of the teaching for today, and Ephesians is the meat for today. So we can say that Romans again is like going to your grammar school, and Ephesians is like going to college when it comes to knowledge of God and His present teaching for the church, which is His body. Well, in Ephesians 2, let's just read the first five verses. "And you, being dead to your offenses and sins, in which once you walked in accord with the eon of this world, in accord with the chief of the jurisdiction of the air, the spirit now operating in the sons of stubbornness." We pointed out last time in the book of Revelation, the 16th chapter, how this chief of the jurisdiction of the air can mobilize all these nations to fight a battle. He is operating now in the sons of stubbornness. And I think we have to get a hold of this. This is a present wicked eon. I actually heard somebody tell me recently that the devil's alive, but he's not well. This is absolute nonsense. He is alive and well today. He's not on the lam, as it were, though, because he's under the complete control of a sovereign God who is operating all after the counsel of his own will. We need not be afraid that there is an adversary out there, because it's all part of God's purposes. God creates evil, Isaiah 45:7, and you and I would not know the good apart from the evil. We wouldn't know the salvation without having gone through the sin and suffering. And we have a God who's sovereign, not reactionary, but proactive, working all things together at the counsel of his own will. And finally, one day when we're all in glory, when the work of Christ has reached its full harvest, we will stand back and admire what God did and say, "God, you were a genius." We didn't like it when we were going through it in a lot of points, but you know, now that we look back, you're a genius. And trust me, we will say that. Well, he's operating now among the sons of stubbornness. So even as I sit here and I teach over the radio, I realize that this adversary, the adversary is opposed to everything I'm saying, because I'm on the air right now proclaiming God's present truth and found in Paul's letters. And he's a powerful foe, but we have a great God who's sovereign. Now it says, verse 3, "Among whom we also all behaved ourselves once in the lusts of our flesh, doing the will of the flesh and of the comprehension, and were in our nature children of indignation, even as the rest." You know, this is saying that all of us were in the same boat. And the only difference between me and somebody who is an unbeliever is the fact that God saved me. I'm not different than Adolf Hitler or Genghis Khan because I've done something. I'm different because God has selected me for a purpose. God has chosen me. God has saved me. Salvation was God's approach present to me. I didn't deserve it. Nobody does. But some have the concept today that being a believer is a wise choice that you made, and you have a sense of pride about it. And I remember thinking once, you know, I have a feeling most of you, if we all in the future, when God saves all mankind through the work of Jesus Christ, through what he accomplished on Calvary, when he saves the wickedest of all mankind, the Hitlers and the Stalins, which he will do, you're probably going to be mad that God saves people. And the reason you're going to be mad, and actually you won't be at that time because you'll know as you ought to know, but if God were to save everyone right now and raise up Hitler and Stalin, you would be mad. And the reason you would be mad is because you felt that you did something that they didn't do. That is the long and short of it. Man is extremely self-righteous. Man is self-righteous. He cannot stand the fact that God is going to save mankind based on the finished work of Christ apart from you doing anything about it. Man can't stand that. They want to feel that they've had a hand in their salvation. Even your faith, dear friends, is a gift of God. And we're going to see that in Ephesians 2. Remember that. So it says here that among whom we all also behaved ourselves once in the lusts of our flesh, doing the will of the flesh and of the comprehension. In other words, we just did whatever we wanted, or our flesh told us to do, or our comprehensions. Even our comprehensions were followed up. We just did whatever we thought, whatever we wanted to do. And were in our nature children of indignation, even as the rest. Now I want you to notice this, that in Paul's evangel here, God waits for all of mankind to show himself an absolute child of indignation before he displays the greatest grace. For instance, in Genesis 10 and 11, after the flood, all the nations depart from God. They build the Tower of Babel, and they forsake God. Read Romans 1 for more information. And God sends the nations packing, as it were. He let them go their own way. And then God calls a man Abraham, and he chooses his seed after him. And the nation of Israel is given all the privileges that a nation can have, the visible presence of God in the tabernacle. They have all these blessings, and what do they end up doing? They end up crucifying their Messiah, but yet the Messiah prays from the cross that God the Father would forgive them, and then they reject the testimony of the 12 apostles regarding their message. And so what's left is the nations are sinners, and the Jews have rejected their God, they've rejected their Messiah. The nations are in idolatry and wickedness of the worst kind, and the God's chosen people who had all the privileges have rejected their Messiah and rejected their God. And it's all ripe now for God's indignation because man has proved himself to be the worst. So what does God do? Does he bring his indignation? No, he puts pause on it, and he uses this background of evil and sin among the nations and the Jewish race, and he says, now I'm going to save both Jew and Gentile on basis of faith alone. I'm going to justify them by faith apart from works. I'm going to justify them as they are in their condition, as God rejecting, Christ defying, idolatrous perverts. I'm going to justify them. And that's what God did. God's indignation was suspended by Paul's evangel because he wanted to show transcendent grace to those who deserve the worst. Chew on that one for a while. We were all, in our nature, children of indignation, even as the rest. And then verse 4, yet God, there it is, yet God, being rich in mercy. It doesn't just say God was merciful. He is rich in mercy because of his vast love with which he loves us. We also being dead to the offenses and lusts, remember we pointed out we're dead to these things in Christ, he vivifies us together in Christ. Now, the term vivify has reference to our spirits. He vivifies us together in Christ. This is a positional truth. It's figurative because we're not actually vivified yet. We're still in these bodies. In grace are you saved and rouses us together, that's referring to our souls, and seats us together among the celestials in Christ Jesus. Do you hear this? God takes the worst, and he takes these group of undeserving folks, and he vivifies us together in Christ, positionally in Christ. In grace are you saved, a reminder. And Paul puts that in parenthesis. If you look at the Concordant Version, it says, he vivifies us together in Christ, parenthesis, in grace are you saved. In other words, to keep reminding us, this is of grace, this is not of you. And rouses us together and seats us together among the celestials. Do you hear what he just said here? If you read in Matthew, if you remember a time, and I'm just going to turn there real quick, in Matthew 20, verses 20 to 23. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, worshiping and requesting something from him. Now he said to her, "What are you wanting?" She is saying to him, "Say that these, my two sons, should be seated, one at thy right hand and one at thy left in thy kingdom." So these, this mother wanted her two boys to sit on the right hand and the left hand in his kingdom. This is referring to his earthly kingdom. Now answering, Jesus said, "You are not aware what you are requesting. Are you able to be drinking of the cup that I am, which I am about to be drinking?" They are saying to him, "We are able." He is saying to them, "My cup indeed you shall be drinking, yet to be seated at my right hand and at my left is not mine to give, but it is for them, but it is for whom it has been made ready by my Father." Now think about this. There is a group of people who are going to have this place at his right hand and his left that the Father has made ready for those folks in the coming millennial reign in the thousand year, the next eon, and that's on earth. But notice what he has made ready beforehand. Can you imagine that if the Zebedee's mother knew that there was going to be a place at the right hand and the left hand among the celestials next to Christ? She didn't know anything of the kind, but Paul is saying that you and I have, the Father has chosen us to have this place at the right hand among the celestials. The disciples, the apostles, wanted just the right hand of his, on his earthly position, but you and I, we get the highest honors. Why? Because we're good? Perish the thought. Absolutely not. We don't deserve it. He rouses us together and seats us together. By the way, these terms vivifying, roused are important. One has to do with the spirit, the other has to do with the soul. If you want to learn more, there's a booklet that we have available called Spirit, Spirits, and Spirituality, and What is the Soul? I'm going to package them both together. You send $12 to P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073, and we'll send this study out to you. I can't give it to you here in a few short minutes. It had to require a whole other study, but it's something we should get clear. He rouses us together and seats us together among the celestials in Christ Jesus, that in the oncoming eons, that's referring to the millennium and new heavens and new earth, the next two eons, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You hear that? He is going to be displaying in the oncoming eons the transcendent riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now think about the mother, the Zebedee's sons there. In the millennium, they're going to probably remember what their mother requested, and they're going to know that we, members of his body, the ecclesia, are right now in the millennium, a new heavens, new earth, exalted to the right hand among the celestials. We are going to be on display to those sons of Zebedee and David and Job what God's transcendent grace can do for those who deserve the opposite. It's not out of us, friends. It's a gift of God. It's God's approach present. And we're going to talk about that next time. Well, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. You can reach us again at crossandthrone.com. And you can get these programs for free on there. You can listen to them, download them, and so forth. We also have some materials we can't give you for free. We have the Concordant Commentary and the Concordant New Testament, very important study tools, and you can go there and get copies of those. We also have that book we mentioned, Spirit, Spirits, and Spirituality, along with What is Death and What is the Soul. We'll give those to you for $12. You can do that. If you want to keep these programs on, please help us out. P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Our conference, September 18th through 20th in the Chicagoland area. Come on out. Go to our website for more details. Until next time, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.